From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that efforts refuse to use, no doubt, kicks off now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 25th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Our website's libertyroundtable.com. That's the broadcast show website with archives and donation buttons and a whole lot more for your listening enjoyment live and on demand. But also our nationally syndicated radio network, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. They have an iPhone app and an Android app and a whole lot of other talk show hosts around the clock. Live and on demand radio free at your fingertips, but donations are welcome. And it's the only time we support liberalism. That is, when you donate. Be liberal. Add zeros. Every penny will help us tell the tale of liberty, and every penny will help us grow our presence in the media, as we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, because we are advocates in the culture war for God, family, and country. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time for ride day. You got to dig that. Quick recap of yesterday's show, then our guest. We had a guest on, Brian Rust, talking about honest money. It was the honest money update, gold and silver with Brian Rust. We talked about busted. Is criminal justice permanently broken? It'll be a panel. Yeah, it'll be a panel, ladies and gentlemen, in South Dakota for the Freedom Fest event. It'll be going on in Rapid City, South Dakota, right by Mount Rushmore, July 21st through the 25th. I will be there live, broadcasting the whole event to the best of my ability. I will be there with Richard Mack and Kathy Smith. In other words, the CSPOA, CSPOA.org, LovingLiberty.net will all be there. And this busted, is criminal justice permanently broken? It's an open general panel of the whole Freedom Fest event that myself and Richard Mack will be on that panel. FreedomFest.com to learn more. We've also got presentations by Richard Mack, presentations at Q&A, if you will, moderated by attorney Michael Perutka, and then four sheriffs answering the questions. So those two panels will be available. We're also having a Friday night dinner, CSPOA.org or LovingLiberty.net. There's a link there. Click on it, sign up, and join us for dinner that Friday night at the Freedom Fest event. Friday night, would love to see you there. Sheriffs will be speaking. I'll be speaking. It is an event to remember. Coming up, FreedomFest.com. Check it out. Be there. Fake news, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about China's plot to kill the dollar and your retirement savings. Most prominent financial analysts are convinced that China buying up gold and silver, they're purchasing and stockpiling gold and silver, they say, in an effort to manipulate their currency and ultimately weaken the dollar. They say, look, kill U.S. manufacturing. It's a big problem that they're going to gold. And my response to that is we should be the masters in gold, ladies and gentlemen. We're supposed to have 100% of our currency backed by constitutional money, gold and silver. The Chinese are backing their money more with gold and silver now. And you know what? I can't blame the Chinese for doing it, but I will say, why do we think it's a threat? If we were on gold and silver, we wouldn't be threatened the more the Chinese went to gold and silver, would we? Would be applauding them for following our supreme law of the land, Constitution, and the more every nation's on constitutional currency, the more honesty they'll be in money. But no, the fake news is we act like it's China's plot. Americans have betrayed us on money. The big bankers have betrayed us on money for well over 100 years. Don't forget that reality check, please. And don't blame everything on the Chinese. Just stop. I know they're communists and we don't agree with them. I get it. I also get, though, that it isn't going to do any good to pretend we're the good guys when we betray our own citizenry regarding money, and then we blame that on the Chinese when they moved to constitutional currency? Have you lost your minds? All right, we also had our second guest on after Brian Rust, Ammon Bundy, with us yesterday. Ammon Bundy announced last weekend that he's running for governor of Idaho. VoteBundy.com is the website for that, VoteBundy.com. Ammon says, quote, please download my Keep Idaho, Idaho plan here on my website so you can see exactly how you and I can ensure that Idaho continues to be a bastion of liberty and prosperity for generations to come. Amen to Ammon Bundy. We also talked about uniting neighbors to defend their families, faith, freedom, and future. PeoplesRights.org. I'm a member of People's Rights. Proud to be so. We had a meeting Monday night in Orem. It was fantastic. You should be there going forward. We'll let you know when those meetings happen. I'll tell you how we'll let you know. Ready? Sign up for PeoplesRights.com, and you'll get a clue of what's going on in your own neighborhood, your own area. And if you don't have a solid neighborhood watch called People's Rights in your area, why don't you become a leader and make that happen, would you please? We also talked about two videos on Ammon Bundy's website. The first one, three lies the media has told you about Ammon Bundy. Great video. True as all get out. Second video, top five reasons to support Ammon Bundy. And that rounds out hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, I was by myself, full of news headlines. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis rises as he promises he's only begun to fight, put on the full armor of God. Amen to Ron DeSantis. I hope he's true blue. Sometimes you hear that the politicians do great things and you praise them, then you find out behind the scenes they're not who they purport to be. Our prayers are that Ron's for real. Law enforcement faces recruitment difficulties as retirements soar and as anti-police sentiment attacks the police forces. There's calls to defund the police and everything else. So now they're having a hard time recruiting law enforcement officers. Members of Antifa and the Proud Boys had a big old clash in a riot outside of Portland on June 18th. Entire Portland police rapid response team resigns. They're just sick of it. They're running around as cops. Their hands are being tied. They're blamed for everything. They're being defunded, and they're going, we're sick of it. We're out. We're just going to flat-out resign. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a problem in America. They've driven a wedge between we the people and the police. They've highlighted the bad apples so much so to where you believe that's the average police force. It's a lie. Don't fall for it. Yeah, there's bad apples, and they need to stop, and we need to remove them from law enforcement duty. I get it. But let's reject law enforcement and look for police who are under the county sheriff's jurisdiction, elected, not appointed, is the point, and then those who will be peace officers to protect and defend and learn to de-escalate. That's what we need to seek for. We don't need to drive a wedge between us and our servants. First punishment in Capitol riot, turns out, she only got a misdemeanor. Anna Morgan Lloyd's her name. She's 49 years old, a misdemeanor. And it involves no prison time. So they've been telling you for 6 months how evil the insurrection is. And now they come up with one person who admits guilt and says, yeah, I admit it. I walked around the Capitol and I shouldn't have. She didn't do anything violent. She didn't harm anybody. And now there's no prison. That's the kind of criminal we're talking about, I guess. They say Seattle will be hotter than Miami. USA Today, a big old climate change agenda. They're going to shove climate change down your throat, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready for the abuse. We also talked about a Senate report finds widespread intelligence failures before January 6th. New York Times with that piece. Wow. That's the recap. All that on yesterday's broadcast, still available online at your fingertips, free. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate, spread the word, and that's a recap. Without further ado, we welcome Chris Carlson back to your radio, a discussion of all things liberty. Welcome, my brother.
Welcome, Sam. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Amen. Great work. We're looking forward to it always. Chris brings a lot of topics to the radio. My job for Chris Carlson and Dr. Scott Bradley is take like 3,000 pages and turn it into an hour of radio. It is a huge job, ladies and gentlemen, but they come over prepared, and that is a wonderful thing. We need patriots who study, patriots who put in the time, patriots who do their due diligence. That is for sure. Our topic today, five question constitutional quiz. Now, what about answers for that? It comes from a document that Larry Mulcock created, and it brings up some very fundamental discussions regarding liberty and the fundamental foundations of the United States Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Rights come from God, not government. That's the place to start. Chris, why don't you bring up the first topic? There's like five or six topics to cover, right?
Okay. Yeah, the first topic is the state legislatures are supreme. The federal government, in spite of what you've heard about the supremacy doctrine, are not supreme because the federal government was, in the beginning, created by our founding fathers through the state legislatures and the voice of the people through those state legislatures, Sam. And so the states are supreme. That's why we call our nation the United States of America. And you could substitute that word state, Sam, with the word nation or country. So we are not one nation under God. We'll talk about that a little later. We are 50 nations under God that we refer to as states. Which the word state and nation is interchangeable. I guess you know that, Sam.
Yeah, that's right. And let's be very clear. A lot of people think they were colonies back in the day, but the reason they were states is because they were states under the Articles of Confederation at first. So they went from colonies to states or countries in that reality as they jettisoned King George. And then they united for a common goal. We'll talk about that coming up with Chris Carlson on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman on your radio. The state legislatures, not the Supreme Court, not the president, not the Congress. The state legislatures constitute the highest authority in the land. All rights and powers are inherently invested, are unalienable in the people. Chris?
Yes, sir. So the people ultimately are the ultimate sovereigns, as we well know, Sam. But we express our voice through the legislatures because that is the closest legislative body to the people. I'll give you an example. I just talked to my state representative on Tuesday. We had a wonderful constitutional discussion, and I gave him a copy of the article that we are now addressing. And he agreed 100% with it. And I challenged him to look at some of the mandates that are handed down from the federal government, of which you know there are many here in the state of Utah. And I asked him if he couldn't pass resolutions that would render those mandates null and void because they are violating states' rights. Because the states have the ultimate, and we're going to talk about the police power of the states here in a minute, but the state legislature should be the first deliberative body that we as citizens of these several states should go to for redress of grievances. It's not the federal government, but it has been the federal government over the years, and that's been the problem. That's why the government, the federal government, is so large, and that's why they're so tyrannical, because we've given them that power, because we always look to the federal government to solve issues that should be solved first on an individual level, second on a family level, third on a neighborhood level, and if necessary, at the state level. But very rarely should they be addressed on the federal level. So that's that.
Here's the deal for me, Chris. I think a lot of these things that are pointed out in this article are correct by nature. I think they're a little bit misstated by facts, and we'll get into that here as well. You know, for example, the state legislatures are the highest authority in the land. I say God is the highest authority in the land, and I say he has given us God-given inalienable rights and invested that sovereignty in us as a people. And as we obey God's laws, we maximize liberty and blessings from Almighty Author of our liberty. When we disobey God, we lose a lot of those things. We can pick our choice, but we can't pick the consequences. So I would say that God's the sovereign. We the people are sovereign. The state legislatures, as they obey, listen carefully, as they obey the mandate we the people have given them, then they do carry out authority on our behalf. That's the unique blend of government that our founders created. So governments derive their just power from the consent of the governed. That's us. So as God gives us authority and sovereignty and liberty, we then vest that in those who represent us, and they do have authority and power, but only according to the consent we give them, and only in the scope that we the people authorize. And that's why in the Constitution, we leave things to the states, we leave things to the people. On the federal level, we say, hey, we're going to divide power up into three branches for checks and balances. Here, courts, here's what you can do. Here, general legislators at the federal government level, here's what you can do. Here, executive branch, the president, here's what you can do. On the local level, that three-branch structure is mirrored, and then there's divisions between the state and the general government as well. And so we've separated powers, and we said, hey, we're going to give consent to the general government to do these things. We're going to give this consent to the state to do these things, etc. So I want to be very clear when we say that the Congress is supreme. We've got to be very clear that we understand how that is true. It's not false. It's just you got to have the backstory, or you get deceived on what that really means, Chris.
Yes, exactly. And like you pointed out, the ultimate authority is God. We need to keep that in perspective. So even if the majority of the people vote for something like in the case of the Dred Scott decision, which is which was presumably a reflection of the voice of the people in the late 1850s. Did you know, Sam, that when the Dred Scott decision was handed down by the Supreme Court, that 22 states at that time rejected that decision? They did not abide by that decision. I'm sure there were mostly northern states. And that is called state nullification. And they nullified a Supreme Court act that was repugnant to not only constitutional principles, but ultimately to the principles that God has handed down and expressed in the Ten Commandments. So you're right. God is the ultimate authority. Hopefully the people are righteous enough to express and to uphold that authority through the lawmaking process, through the legislatures, local government, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, it is God who is the sovereign of this nation, and we should.
Let me make one more point.
His law, first and foremost.
Let me make one more point. As the people are righteous, then the legislature and those divided powers that we've given them are obeyed. The people insist on it. The sovereignty, the righteousness of the American people ensure that. The more the people turn their back on God and the more the people jettison true principle, then the greater supremacy that legislative, judicial, executive power has over the people, because whenever the people don't do what's right, they lose their liberty, and then tyranny starts to fill that vacuum. So we need to be very, very clear about that. The second one is the state legislatures are the police of the Constitution. They ought to be on behalf of the people without a doubt. The state legislatures have a constitutional and a patriotic duty to use interposition, which you've talked a little bit about, or to interpose, putting themselves between the national or the general government and the people to fight off the dragon who would literally swallow up the whole land. Their goal is to keep the federal beast inside its cage. I agree with that general point, but I would broaden it and say their job is to keep any other entity in its cage, whether it be the general or the federal government, whether it be the governors. See, the governors are who have abused us over the last year more than anybody else. They've literally jettisoned legislative authority. They've simply created mandates from on high. The government, state governors have been more abusive than the federal government over the last year plus to most people. And so these legislative people, as you wisely point out, need to defend us and interpose against anybody who would destroy or violate the principles of liberty. Chris?
Exactly. Whether that be, like you pointed out, federal government, state government, local authorities, world government, whatever enemy presents a threat to our individual sovereignty and liberties needs to be addressed. And the state legislatures, I think, are the ideal instrument to accomplish that objective. And to add to what you said about the state legislatures being the guardians of our liberties, in Federalist Papers number 46, have you read the Federalist Papers, Sam? They were written by James
Madison. Yes, and the Anti-Federalist Papers, a long time ago. They're very complicated and detailed to read, and they take rereading 1,000 times, kind of like the Bible, because they're complex. And every time you read them, you discover something new, sir.
Yeah, I counted one sentence one time. It was 115 words long. They really were very wordy in that time. Anyway, the Federalist 46, in support of what you said about our state legislators being the guardians of our liberty, it states, in the event of national violation of the rights of states or their citizens, the state governments, with the people on their side, would be able to repel the danger through the power of citizens with arms in their hands. Now, there's a plug for the Second Amendment right there, Sam, and we didn't even plan to get into that. But yeah, that basically says that the states, through the instrumentality of the state legislatures, are going to be our primary defense mechanism against federal encroachments on our liberties. And that's Federalist 46.
I agree completely. I just want to point out, though, that we need to watch from our own governors, too, though. Our governors got out of control, abusive, tyrannical, and they did it because big money was on the chopping block.
So
we need to be very careful about that as well.
And the state legislature stood down in almost every case, Sam. I mean, there were some bills, I know in Wisconsin and in Utah, there were some bills that passed that, you know, you can't mandate masks, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they were just few and far between, and they had exceptions to the rules. And there are all sorts of loopholes that corporations and governmental entities were able to get around the mandates with. But, yeah, there were no, you know, Kristi Noem was a pretty good example of. But, you know, she got some pushback and she knuckled under on some of those things. But the state legislatures, give you an example. As I said, Sam, on Tuesday afternoon, I met with my personal state representative. His name is Norm Thurston. I don't mind giving his name out. We sat down and had a couple of drinks, and we discussed these issues. Now, do you think that I could do that with our governor or Mitt Romney, our illustrious senator, or Mike Lee?
Not a chance. They're hard to get a hold of, my friend. All right, quick pause. When we come back, we're talking about this five-question constitutional quiz. And I agree with the general points that are being made. I just think some clarification is necessary. But as I went through the article, I found six of them. We'll talk about it with Chris Carlson on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden and a bipartisan group of senators announced Thursday they have struck a deal on a $1.2 trillion infrastructure plan.
They have my word. I'll stick with what they proposed. And they've given me their word as well. So where I come from, that's good enough for me.
The plan will now travel through both houses before it becomes law. President Biden will meet with Afghan President Ashraf Ghani and his former political foe Abdullah Abdullah on Friday to discuss Washington's support for Afghanistan as the last U.S. troops pack up after 20 years of war. It appears Afghan government forces are struggling to stop Taliban advances. Firefighters searching a collapsed Miami area condo for 99 missing people shifted their focus to a basement parking structure late Thursday, risking their lives to find survivors amid revelations the building was sinking into the earth. This is USA Radio News.
If you're tired of the old cable news, you now have a choice. It's Newsmax TV. More than 40 million Americans are tuning in, making Newsmax the fastest growing cable news channel in America. Every minute, every day, Newsmax gives you the real news you can trust. With top analysts, hosts, and guests like Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, Dick Morris, Nancy Brinker, Mike Reagan, Rudy Giuliani, and so many more. It's easy to watch. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems, or get Newsmax free on streaming platforms like Roku, Zumo, Pluto, YouTube, and most smart TVs like Samsung Plus and LG. Remember, Newsmax is different than most cable news networks. You can get it for free on your smartphone. So download the Newsmax app and start watching right now. Join the Newsmax revolution and get us everywhere. Online at Newsmax.com, on your cable channel, your smart TV, and your smartphone. Because when news breaks, you need a trusted source. It's Newsmax.
What happens now to Afghans that helped U.S. troops as we disengage from 20 years of war? Wendy King explains.
The State Department and the Pentagon are working on plans to evacuate thousands of Afghan citizens who worked for the U.S. during the 20-year war in Afghanistan. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said, "We're taking this seriously. We know we have an obligation to these men and their families." More than 17,000 Afghan citizens who worked with the U.S. and allied forces during the war are eligible for resettlement in the U.S. under the Special Immigrant Visa Program. The problem is the process is slow, with the average wait time stretching over 3 years. Observers fear that the September 11th deadline for withdrawing the U.S. forces from Afghanistan puts the lives of America's allies at risk of being targeted by the Taliban after the departure. At least 50 of Afghan's 370 districts have fallen to the Taliban since May, according to the United Nations.
USA Radio News.
All right, live and on your radio, Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman, telling the tale of liberty, discussing all things liberty on your radio. We're talking about a five-question constitutional quiz with an answer key, Larry Mulcock with the article. And I want to just be very clear that, you know what, the state legislative bodies are our delegates, based on the consent of the governed, to hold all others accountable. Why? Because they're closest to the people. Why? Because if we don't like what they do, we can fire them. How do you fire them? Every 2 years, you elect somebody else, ladies and gentlemen. Very clear. But we, the people, must get involved, and that's really the lacking part in the checks and balances of America today. The American people are flat out not engaged. And the Founding Fathers said you have a republic if you can keep it. What that means is if you're engaged enough to insist on advocating for the principles that made America great, if you do that, you know what? You'll have a freedom-loving country. And if you don't, you're going to lose it. And that's really starting to happen today. Sad as could be, but this whole article is designed to help us understand our duty, to encourage us to stand up and deliver on our responsibilities. So they say it's five things, but I found six, Chris, in this list. Let's go with number three.
Okay, so number three states that the Constitution was ratified by the legislatures of each of the 13, and he says... he doesn't say colonies. He says sovereign countries. So, again, emphasizing the fact that the state of Utah, where we live, Sam, it can be looked at as a sovereign nation or a sovereign country. And I think we should start looking at it as such, because we look at ourselves as being subordinate to this to this gargantuan federal government to whom we owe obeisance, which is not true. This perception has been cultivated over the last 230 years, and it is simply false. We are superior to the federal government as a separate and sovereign nation from it, and it is divisible. We could declare our independence at any time, I believe, with justification, if we so choose. Not that I'm saying that we should do it at this time. So, yeah.
Of course. Sure. Now, here's the interesting thing, though, on this, and this is where I think people get deceived very quickly, though. The Constitution was ratified by the legislatures of each of the 13 sovereign countries. So there's a lot of mix-up there because they were called states at the time. I get that state equates to separate sovereign republics. I agree with that point. But he says it's false, and when we say the Constitution was ratified, each state had to enter the union based on their legislative body, so it's partially true. Which part is he claiming is not false or is false?
I don't even have the questions. He didn't send me the questions. What I've got in front of me, Sam, are the answers, and I think that's probably sufficient for the discussion. But I think it's a minor point. I think we're pretty much all on the same.
The reason it matters, though, is we need to understand that yes, our states did come into the union, the Constitution hadn't completely been the United States, if you will, until enough states came aboard. We just celebrated, for example, the ninth state joining
the ninth state, New Hampshire.
Last Saturday, it was New Hampshire, or whatever it was, or last Friday, I guess. New Hampshire joined, and it wasn't operative until enough, the majority of the states had become members. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm not sure I completely understand this one, and without the question, it's hard for me to understand it. Here's the point I think that's relevant, and this is, I think, what you're getting across. The states are separate constitutional republics, and they are united by choice, not by force, but by choice. And in their uniting by choice, they agree to give certain things to the general government by their consent. And ultimately, it's the people's consent through their states that matter, right?
Yep, through their legislatures primarily, yes.
All right, number four. This one's very interesting as well.
Yep, do you want me to read that for you, Sam?
Yes, please.
The 17th Amendment was designed to further emasculate the state legislatures. Before the 17th Amendment, each state legislator elected or appointed that state's U.S. senator. Okay, why is this a problem? Because the Senate was supposed to represent the state's interests in Congress. And Congress was designed to represent the people's interests. And now that the senators are elected through the 17th Amendment, which I believe happened in 1913, which was a very bad year for the United States of America because a lot of mischief was perpetrated. As a result, now the senators no longer feel an obligation to represent the interests of the state through the state legislatures. And that is a problem. Because
so
that
remember,
was a,
ladies and gentlemen,
check and balance.
You remember, when you take a step back, there's checks and balances in everything that our founders put together. So everybody had a seat at the table. We, the people, had a seat at the table through our House representatives. The states had a seat at the table through their elected senators. The state legislative bodies were to elect senators, and then both states and people would have representation at the general level in Washington. The 17th Amendment basically jettisoned that incredible check and balance. And it further emasculated the state legislative bodies to where they've become puppets. They've become nobodies. They become so that's the problem. And at the federal level now, you've got senators that virtually answer to nobody. You could say, well, Sam, they answer to the people. Not really, because there's so limited number of senators per population. Take California. They only have two senators, and they have 40 million people to represent. Okay? So federal senators or general senators, they're supposed to represent the states, the legislative bodies that put them there, because then you could have conference calls between state legislative bodies and their senators saying, listen, you're running this thing off the rails. We need to rein you in. We'll elect somebody else if you don't. And they would have a micromanagement watching of that senator to make sure that things were carried out as the consent of the governed intended, Chris.
Yep. And then you know who they really represent nowadays, Sam? The big money interest. Have you checked how much it costs to run a Senate campaign?
About $10-15 million.
Millions of dollars. Yeah. So who do they really represent? You know, how much money have you donated to a senator lately?
Zero.
Nothing near what the corporations do. Yeah, the corporations pretty much rule the day on this issue.
The only real beef I have with Ron Paul and Rand Paul and those guys is that they always beg me for money. And they always think that, oh, man, like Rand Paul emails me and he's like, you know what? I'm really trying to make a bold statement here, but, you know, they're going to be looking at the fundraising numbers at the end of this quarter. And if I don't show big on the fundraising numbers, they're not going to take me seriously, Sam. Can you pony up? And I'm just like, you know what? You're a doctor and you're a senator. You make more money than I've ever made in my life on a single yearly basis. You know, you make way more money than I, and you're begging me for money. Come on now. You know, it isn't about money, folks. And we've got to get off that money train. I know we need enough money to do the job, but we need to be careful how much money we expect from the people. Because if you're not careful, money just runs everything off the rails. All right, number five, Chris.
Number five, the federal government was formed by a treaty, Sam, between autonomous sovereign nations, and that is true. And that, just like a treaty, it can be.
Now, he says on here that it's
violated
false, though.
It's false. Okay, he says it's false. No, I say it's true. How does he say it's false? Let me read. The counties of state are political subjects. I don't know if that has to do with it. Go ahead and tell me why he says that's false. I thought it.
Well, I don't know why he says it's false. I say that. This we need to understand. When we say the federal government, we need to talk about the general government versus the federal, because when you say federal or national, you're creating kind of a misnomer a little bit. What we have to understand is the general government was formed by the states, and I wouldn't call it a treaty, though. I don't look at the Constitution as a treaty. Okay, I know some people would say
I look at it as a compact as well,
or I would say even this, a sacred union.
Trust.
A more perfect
sacred union
is the word that I would use.
Based on trust.
Okay, so I don't agree with this treaty thing or this whatever, because you get into all kinds of weird legalese when you do that. What I say is we've agreed as sovereign republics that we will join together. By the consent of the governed, we will give a small list of things that we need the general government to do, and we do it by agency as we form the more perfect union. That's the language that I would use, Chris. And that's why I say, I'm not saying this author's completely wrong, but there's areas in which I don't believe we're articulating it well enough for my comfort, right?
Yeah. So I would say it's similar to a marriage union, and as long as both parties remain faithful to the covenants they make at that marriage ceremony, then it should not be broken. But if somebody violates, obviously, you know, marriage couples violate their sacred oaths and obligations on a regular basis, but only minorly. So yeah, unless that trust has been breached, I say that union remains. But once that trust has been breached by perpetual violations of that trust, then it can be severed. The treaty or the covenant.
And it must be severed. We need to step up. And so the question becomes, hey, we can't violate it for light and transient purposes, but at the same time, if there are abusive, egregious behaviors, we need to either sever ourselves or alter the relationship. When we come back, number six, I want to highlight this because I don't agree with this either. So I get the article's really good, but I also understand there's a lot of clarification needed from a pure constitutionalist such as myself. Hang tight, folks.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman. We're talking about this five-question constitutional quiz answer key. Larry Mulcock doing a great job, and I think that if we really dig in, we'll agree with a lot of the points here. But I believe, here's what I got for the headline. Sam clarifies key points in the article, because there's some things that he's saying I don't exactly understand or agree with on its face. But at the same time, I'd have to read all the questions to really know, and I don't have those. But I will say this. Number six is this, Chris Carlson. The federal government derives its powers and legitimacy from the state legislatures. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with it at all. Look, we all get our power and authority from God Almighty. The governments of any kind in the United States, whether they be the executive level, the judicial level, the legislative level, and that's all up and down our government, right? Local, state, federal, it all has those three branches. Yeah. And then the division between the states and the federal. The consent of the governed delegated power to each body separately with specific instructions. So if you look at the Constitution, you say, hey, here's what the legislative body can do. Here's what the executive branch can do. Here's what the legislative branch, here's what the judicial branch can do. And so the judicial branch on the general level gets its authority directly from the people, not from any state. Yes, the states are the ones that ratified the Constitution. I get it. But we, the people, gave direct authority to the general government to carry out these things on our behalf. It is not a state legislative body decision, for example. And the reason that I push back on this so hard, and the reason that I make this point so blatant, Chris, is because people, I believe, are really deceived on this. Here's what a lot of people believe. The Constitution relates to the general government, but the states, you know, it doesn't relate to the states at all. Well, if you believe that logic...
No, you're right.
If you believe that logic, then the state gave the federal government the authority to that says, hey, you can't touch my guns. But if the state decides that they're going to touch my guns, they can tell the general government to fly a kite, and the state can take away my guns. Okay, if you believe that logic, then that's possible. I say to you, my God-given inalienable right of self-defense codified in the Second Amendment is not up for debate, and the states have no authority over it either. I gave a do not touch this commandment on the general level because it applies to all 50 states, to the everyone in the compact, everyone in the union. So Oregon can't take my gun rights, and neither can Utah or Idaho. Okay, so I gave it generally to say, look, do not touch this compact or union wide. And so a lot of people believe that the states have freedom to do whatever they want to under that logic, and I disagree with it. Chris?
No, I you're absolutely correct, because those rights are handed down to us from God. We need to recognize that. And I don't care if it's your neighborhood government, your county government, your state legislature, whatever level of government you want to appeal to, nobody has authority to violate the rights and privileges that God has given us. You're right. There's no two ways about that, Sam.
And furthermore, the consent that we gave them has direct limits. That's why, if you look in the Constitution, there's sections that relate to each branch of government. Hey, legislative body, here's what you can do and nothing, nothing else. Hey, executive branch, here's what you can do, and nothing else, etc. And I bring that up because when they violate that and do other things, when governors, which is the executive branch in a state, act like they can mandate a mask, they have no authority. That's the legislative purview that we've given legislative bodies, but even the legislative body who can make laws can't violate fundamental liberties. And so there's checks on the state legislative, but the governors have no authority whatsoever for these mandates. And so we've got it all wrong. We need to understand where authority comes from. We need to understand the chain of command and delegation, if you will. We give consent as the governed on certain guidelines and conditions. And when those guidelines or conditions are violated, I don't care where the violation comes from. It's got to stop.
Exactly. And the example that I use, Sam, is do you think that our founding fathers got permission from their state legislatures or the Crown of England to throw all that tea into the Boston Harbor? Or do you think that they were exercising the prerogative based upon their individual sovereignty and desires to bring about righteous change when they threw that tea into the harbor? And we celebrate that event as this great noble act of rebellion, yet we don't recognize that they acted on an individual sovereign level, and they were justified in doing that. And we celebrate that, yet nowadays we say, no, we can't do anything even close to that. That would be rebellion. That would be sedition. And I say, no way. You know, and I'm not saying we need to throw tea in the harbor at this point in the game. Eventually, maybe we'll get to that point. But what I'm saying is, like you said, the individual is the sovereign in this nation. And we
well, and where they throw tea,
way, and we're not.
Where they throw tea into the harbor, I walk into a store without a mask.
Exactly, as do I. As do I. And I push
now, I
back.
I get the private. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Oh no. Yeah. No. And those are forms of rebellion. Technically, we're in the wrong because that's a private business. You know, unless, of course, we find out that, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, maybe they're receiving public monies through InQtel or through the Atlantic Council or some other means whereby the government actually is in bed in cahoots with private industry, in which case those lines are really blurred. But in any case, just like the example of throwing tea in the harbor, we need to push back when injustices are perpetrated, whether that be through the instrumentality of governments or through corporations or small businesses at the local level. It is our right, and I would say it is our duty, Sam, to push back when those injustices are perpetrated in violation of God's laws. And we need to become familiar with the nature of God and his laws in order to be able to do that. And we are justified. So, yeah.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's critical to understand where authority comes from. I think it's critical to understand the division of powers, not only horizontally but vertically in America, and the consent of the governed gives just authority to sectors of government. It's a divide-and-conquer strategy to chain them down with the Constitution. Okay, we don't seek for power, ladies and gentlemen. We seek to pull it down. This is a very clear thing that we're talking about here. And so whenever governments decide that they're going to do things out of the purview of what we've given them as guidelines, they're wrong, and they need to stop. Whenever they take too much power into themselves, they're wrong, and they need to stop. And this is just as true at the state level as it is the federal level. I hear patriots all day be like, if we could just get the federal government off our backs, we'd be okay. No, your state's just as abusive, folks. Don't fool yourself. Your county thug is just as abusive if you let them. If you chain them down with the Constitution, with the checks and balances, vertical and horizontal, if you demand by the consent of our governed accountability, that's we the people, then things will start to work. That's why I say, you know what? What do we have at our fingertips? We have the checks and balances at our fingertips. We have the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to rein them in. We're the final say. It's going to take enough of us. We have individual God-given rights. People think there are states' rights. People think there are, common rights. People think that isn't true. There's only God-given rights. God gives rights. Government grants privileges. Understand that difference clearly. Chris, that's kind of the final point on this article, right?
Well, it is. And I would like to use an analogy that I gave to my state legislature, my state representative, Norm Thurston on Tuesday. And when he was first elected, I was a county delegate. And so I got a couple of telephone calls from him, and he was very solicitous of my attention. And, you know, and I thought, wow, I'm pretty important. I'm a state delegate or a county delegate. And he quoted me some things. He said that, did you know that the state of Utah, that 68.8% of its land is actually controlled and occupied by the federal government? And I said, wow, I'm impressed that he knows that to the decimal point. So when we spoke on Tuesday, I said, okay, Norm, I'm going to give you an analogy, and I want you to answer this question for me. If you were sitting in your house and your bicycle was parked in your front driveway, and you saw your neighbor kid, who's been a known bully for years, jump on that bike and ride it home. He basically just stole your bike. Okay, so you go down to his house, and you see your bike in his driveway, and he's in his house. Are you going to go knock on the door and ask permission to ride your bicycle back home? Or are you just going to jump on that bike and go home? Because after all, it belongs to you. And I said, the federal BLM lands issue in this state of Utah is the same principle. They've taken those lands unjustifiably, unconstitutionally. We should just take those lands back and dispose of them according to whatever the legislature deems is proper and prudent. And he said, well, yeah, but it's more complicated than that. So that's an example of what I think we should do as a sovereign state in this union to show the federal government where they stand relative to us. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I would say this, where he wants to make this more complicated than that. He pretends it's more complicated because he's dealing with liaries. And he's dealing with dishonest people that want to make it complicated. The reality is the general government violated their authority when new states entered the union after the first 13. So Utah came late to the game, so to speak, because it was a territory prior to that. So Utah was supposed to be granted access to the union on equal footing. The equality of states is critical to understand. It's the equal footing doctrine. And they violated that, and we should have called them on the carpet at the time. Okay, but Utah was so eager to become a state, and the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were trying to get along with the government to where they didn't call them on the carpet when they let some of these states enter under different circumstances. Right now, they should be sued over it. It should be overturned, and equal footing should apply, and then most of that land wouldn't be in the hands of bureaucrats under the guise of control and ownership. Okay, it's a dishonest lie, and it needs to stop. The problem is politicians don't have the guts to call a halt to the con game. They don't have the integrity to demand. What we need is county sheriffs all over the country to say, federal government, this is not your land, and if you come in my county, I will arrest you. Okay, don't do it anymore, and stop. Equal footing is a realistic principle. Otherwise, we want to dissolve the union. Now, I'm not pushing to dissolve the union. I'm making a point of authority here, and that's what we need to do. The problem is everybody kowtows and goes, Sam, you got to study the Something Act of 19. No, Sam, you got to go back to the water rights of this. And no, you got to, and they just make it all complicated. It isn't complicated. Every state should be in the union on equal footing. And if they're not going to accept the demands of equal footing, then we should leave the union over it. And what we should really do is force them to answer to the equal footing reality. So there's my response, Chris.
Well, then what would it take for him to just draft a resolution that says basically from this date forward, the state of Utah is going to take possession of these federal lands and begin to dispense them as we deem necessary and prudent? I mean, that would
the answer
take,
is about an hour of work on the document. The answer, Chris, is about an hour of work on the document and a whole lot of guts, buddy.
Yep. Anyway. Sounds like we're at the end of the show, Sam. Thanks for the time. We will be in touch. Without God, we can never win. Go ahead.
With God.
Here, I'll go ahead. Without God, we can never. No. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose, Sam. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
Thank you, Chris. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll get to the Pledge of Allegiance some other time, though. That'll be an epic discussion debate as well. Thanks so much, Chris Carlson. For the rest of you, God save the Republic.